This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
And you are listening to Saturday Magazine with Macca and myself, Tass. Macca.
Thank you, Tass. Our next guest is Carolyn Gillespie. Carolyn is the Director of Services at Thorn Harbour Health, and there's a new campaign, one that I think is fantastic, and I'm so glad to see that this is taking place. It's called the Safe Always Campaign, and it's focusing on the issue of family violence in our LGBTIQ communities. Good morning, Carolyn.
Good morning, Tessa Macca. Lovely to be here.
It's lovely. This campaign, I'm not going to say it's well overdue, because there's been others, but this is a really important campaign. This is the subject that really no one in our communities, not no one, a lot of people in our communities feel very uncomfortable talking about this and very uncomfortable in dealing with it, don't they?
For sure. And look, you know, for listeners who don't know, Thorn Harbour Health is our community's health service. We run a whole bunch of programs in a whole lot of different areas and have a long history in running health campaigns for our community in all kinds of different spaces. But this is a really special one for us because we know that family violence harms our communities, and it is a really tough subject to talk about. We don't want to really kind of sit with what it is and what it means, but we have a responsibility, all of us, to grapple with it as an issue and to come up with a way to a future where family violence doesn't exist. And so for us as a health organisation, we wanted to develop a campaign to really address misconceptions and misunderstandings in our community about family violence, about the fact that it exists, and help people make sense of it so we can actually be part of the change for good.
Carolyn, tell us about the what's actually occurring. I mean, what data do we have about family violence in our communities, and is it reliable?
Yeah, good question. The good old question about data. Look, as far as we know, our community experiences family violence at similar, if not higher, rates to mainstream people. But of course, there's pockets of our community who have more vulnerability to experiencing violence. So those who are living more on the margins, those who have less control. But I think it's important to note that family violence is always a choice, and it's a range of behaviours that occurs when someone chooses to act in a way that hurts or scares their partner or family members. And this includes their chosen family or carers. So it's a whole wide range of behaviours. And I think one of the things that's tricky for our LGBTIQ plus communities is the narrative around family violence historically has really been set up to be a focus on men's violence against women and children. And that's rightfully so, because that experience is really harmful, and we know that women get killed at around a rate of one a week in this country, in Australia, so tragically. But that framework isn't the entirety of what family violence is, because our communities experience it as well, both in choosing to use violence against those that they love and care about, and or experiencing it. And so when we have a narrative like that, it means that our community is invisible in that space, and it means that the service system isn't set up to respond. It means it makes it hard for our community to recognise what's happening to them, or to even see that perhaps there's some way to get support in all of this. So our campaign was really to try and address all of those issues and to have a singular place for community to get some more information and to be more informed.
Carolyn, Simon Ruth has described the campaign as being confronting. Can you describe the campaign to us? Tell us what it's about and what does it look like?
Yeah, sure. So we wanted to really pitch this concept of family violence being really part of the everyday. It's shocking and it shouldn't happen, but it happens as an everyday thing. So what we've done in our campaign is come up with some everyday pictures of couples and a couple with a child who are just doing normal everyday things. And there's some text and narrative that goes with that, that when they go home, this happened, whether it's a threat to kill or whether it's a sexual assault experience. So there's a juxtaposition between this beautiful, happy family's everyday picture and then the reality of what goes on behind closed doors. And then the campaign really has a really human rights focus. So it's really about, here's this beautiful picture, here's the shocking reality of what you can't see on the surface in looking at that picture. And then for us, it's around, you know, what is the human rights principle? And that for us is that everyone in our community has a right to be safe always. Everyone has a right to be believed and be respected. And that's the crux of our campaign.
And where can our listeners find the campaign? How can they? Where can they see it? Or will it actually creep into their social media platforms?
Yeah, sure. So we're definitely doing some push out through our socials. That absolutely, that's happening. This is a campaign that's been a long time coming. The pandemic put paid to this for a long time. We had a great idea around having a campaign out in the public realm, and of course we've mostly been locked inside our houses for the last year or so. But we do have some public posters in this campaign in inner Melbourne now, so folks who are living in different parts of Melbourne may see the posters on tram stops and bus stops out there. But we also have a website.
Just 'cause there's no point in having them in venues, really, is there?
Exactly. Well, that's exactly right. So, yeah, so we've had to reinvent this campaign quite a few times through the pandemic and think about, you know, this is actually a really important issue for us to talk about. So how do we actually get this message out here, even though we're all kind of isolated? So we have built a website as well with the campaign, and it's an easy one to remember, and it's just simply safealways.org.
Carolyn,
I was going to ask Carolyn, in terms of, you know, people's awareness of this, obviously there's a lot of work to do there.
Yeah.
But then the next stage of that is, you know, when people are the victims of family violence, which we acknowledge takes many forms, it's not all physical.
Sure. Yeah.
What has been the response in your experience, both in the health sector, but also, you know, by Victoria Police? Do you have any feelings there?
Yeah, sure. Look, I've worked in the family violence space, you know, for more than 10 years now, and there's been some extraordinary transformation in Victoria in particular around the way in which we understand and respond to family violence. For members of our community in particular, there was a Royal Commission in Victoria a couple of years back where there was, for the first time ever, some explicit recommendations that recognised the fact that we had to have a better response to family violence in our communities, and that the entire service system, from police through to, you know, supports and the whole way in which policy is designed at government levels, actually needed to do better in terms of our community. It's a fraught relationship for our community with the police for lots of different reasons that we all know well. And I think one of the barriers for folks in our community, apart from not recognising perhaps what's happening as being family violence, is that, you know, a worry or fear about engaging with police as the responders to that family violence, that might make things worse, or that they're going to be more traumatised because there's been past experiences of interaction. So it's a really complicated space for us. So and we recognise that as a service, and we hear that a lot from our clients who come to us for family violence support at Thornhubber Health. Having said that, there are places within Victoria Police where people can actually connect with members of our own community. And there's also other places outside of the police where people can get support too. So there's lots of different avenues, and the website maps that out a little bit for people so that people can have a better sense of what are their options and what are the things available to them. We still have work to do, 100%, and we do that work in an ongoing way in our advocacy with the police and with the relationships that we build with them. But, you know, things are continually improving, But I would say that if there's anyone out there who is in an unsafe relationship or is feeling, you know, worried about what's happening and is too scared to call the police, there are other places you can call, such as Thorn Harbour Health and Rainbow Door at Switchboard, yeah, and connect with getting some more support there to start with. Yeah.
That's great. I mean, I know in the next few weeks or in the next month, we're going to be speaking to St Kilda and the surrounding police about this issue. They've spoken to me a couple of times about, you know, some strategies they'd like to implement and and, you know, to make people aware what their rights are and that, you know, the police do want to hear about this. So we are going to be dealing with that in the next month or so. But it's good, you know, Thorn Harbour Health or Switchboard, you know, not everyone's going to feel comfortable going to the police.
No, that's right, Macca. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Carolyn, we're out of time, unfortunately, but just a final call out again. If any of our listeners are feeling distressed or feel that they need some support around this, what should they do?
Yep, sure. There's a couple of things that they can do. There's certainly immediate support available. So Rainbow Door is there every day from 10 till 5. They can call on 1-800-729-367, or they can call us at Thorn Harbour Health during the week on 9865-6700. And if someone's in immediate danger, I do encourage you to call 000 and get police. Yeah. You have a right to help and safety.
Great.
Thank you so much, Carolyn. Lovely to speak with you. I apologise about the audio this morning to our listeners. It's a little bit fuzzy, I know, but we are really adjusting with new technology. It's high-tech technology, of course, Macca, but we are still learning how to maximise it, aren't we?
We are. Go on, rub your beard against the microphone.
No, I'm not going to
do that.
But I will just a reminder again to our listeners, if you are feeling distressed or you do need support, the first port of call should be Rainbow Door or Thorn Harbour Health. If you feel you are in danger, of course, dial 000 and ask for help.
You've been listening to Saturday Magazine on Australia's first and only gay and lesbian radio station, Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.